I want to talk this morning about the kingdom. I think there's so many people who are so confused about what the Bible talks about when it talks about the kingdom of God. The Bible frequently talks about the kingdom of God. Psalms 103 and verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. I have a little diagram here. Clayton simplified. God is the king over everything. And that statement simply indicates the nature of God's rule as king over the entire creation. What we want to try and get straight in our minds this morning is the difference between the physical kingdom of God and the spiritual kingdom of God. Because there's a great deal of confusion in the world about that. And I think many times we don't appreciate where we are because we don't understand the kingdom. Psalms 10 and verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. What's that about? That's about everything that's on the screen over here. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living king, the eternal king. I don't think too many people question that. Our problem is not in recognizing God as superior, but the two realms in which he functions, even though it's the same God, is what seems to confuse us. First of all, there is the physical kingdom. In Exodus 19, beginning with verse 5, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my prized possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. See, that concept is that God was establishing a physical kingdom with Israel. That physical kingdom was one that was to be exemplary in the world. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God is saying to Israel, you can be my spiritual people. You can be the leaders of good things on the earth. You can be the provider of the blessings that I want all people to have. But Israel rejected it. Almost everyone knows of the way in which Israel spun off into other sources. They weren't satisfied to be God's kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so when you go down the line to the book of Isaiah, God says, okay, it's going to end. The physical kingdom is going to end. Isaiah 65, verse 17, behold, I will create a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. As we have studied the books of Nehemiah, as we have gone through the Old Testament prophecies of Daniel, we've seen the prophecies that said that physical Israel was going to end. In the New Testament, in 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 10, there's a description of the complete and total destruction of the physical kingdom. And listen to what it says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. The heavens will disappear in a roar. The word heavens here is shachim. In the Hebrew, it refers to everything up there. The cosmos. The elements will be destroyed by fire. Boy, to destroy an element, you've got to do something pretty fierce. The very stuff of which we are made is going to revert to the energy from which it came. And everything will be laid bare. You know, Jesus strove to get people to understand that the new kingdom was going to be something different. In John 6, beginning with verse 60, the writer tells us, Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all. See, our flesh doesn't help us in understanding the new kingdom. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So what we're being told is that there is a spiritual kingdom, different than the physical kingdom. And the spiritual kingdom is a kingdom that physical things don't help us get to. You can't build a bridge to the spiritual kingdom. The flesh is no help at all. Now, God does tell us clearly that He is in the dwelling place that is spiritual. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15, look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place. Nehemiah 9, beginning with verse 6, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens and the highest heavens and all their starry host. The earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, you give life to everything and to the multitudes of heaven. So Nehemiah comes to the understanding that there's two kingdoms, and he describes them. In the New Testament, we see Jesus making reference to this. We all are familiar with Matthew 5, verse 45, and Matthew 7, verse 21, our Father who art in heaven. In Mark 13, beginning with verse 31, and listen to the description here, Mark 13, verse 31. By the way, in your bulletin, there is a list of these scriptures. You can, in your own private study, study them. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The physical is going to go, folks. But my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven. The physical is going to be dissolved. The elements of the physical are going to be dissolved. But in Matthew 3, beginning with verse 1, John the Baptist came, and he came saying, and I'm quoting now, In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. God is providing a bridge from the physical to the spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is near. We are going to be provided with a way of leaving the physical kingdom and all of the struggle and the cancer and the pain and the struggles that this life has. That's also in Matthew 4 and verse 17, by the way. It's in there twice. In Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, in the Beatitudes and throughout the Sermon on the Mount, talks about the fact that there is a way to become a part of the new kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. So what is that kingdom like? What is our place in it? We know from Ephesians 6 and verse 12, Ephesians 3 and verse 10, that God's kingdom is made up of many things. Angels, celestial powers. But we will be a part of that kingdom if we are followers of Christ. In Luke 17, beginning with verse 20, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come visibly or with people who say, there it is, or here it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. You can't see the spiritual kingdom from the physical. You can't see the blessings that are in the spiritual kingdom from where we stand. That transgression, that movement is something different that is within us. And all through the teachings of Jesus Christ, we see Jesus striving to get people to understand what the kingdom is going to be like. Let me take you through some of these. In Revelation 1, beginning with verse 5, we're told Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His Father and God. We are a kingdom. Has made us to be a kingdom. In Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed, and the enemy comes and sows weeds. And that's not sorted out until the harvest. What's He telling us? He's telling us that Even in the spiritual, Satan is going to sow weeds. That whole parable, which we're all very familiar with, is really telling us, don't expect everything to be peaches and cream. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. In Matthew 13 and verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man planted, and it produces the largest plant in the garden. What it's saying? What's it saying? It's saying it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter what you were in life. Those are not the issues. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that's so small you can barely see it, you can become a giant in the kingdom of heaven. Your spiritual existence is not based upon what you were in this life. Thank God for that, right? In Matthew 13, verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour. And they worked through it until it had gone all the way through the dough. You know, the Statler brothers have a lot of good spiritual songs. My favorite is one you probably never heard. The punchline of it is, when they pass out the halos, one size fits all. And it's a really neat song. But what it says is, and the message of it is, it doesn't matter what you were in this life. Doesn't matter that you didn't have a formal education. Doesn't matter that you didn't make $1 million. Doesn't matter, because one size fits all. That's the kingdom of heaven. The spiritual kingdom pays no attention to what you were in the physical. In Matthew 18, verse 23, there's a parable about a kingdom. We're told, and I'm quoting it now, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his own servants. So the story goes on and tells us that he forgave a big debt. But then that servant who he forgave a big debt had a guy that owed him a little bitty debt, and he didn't forgive him. And the message of that, of course, is that what we owe God is not the issue. What we need to do is to show that same kind of compassion to others. And then there's the story in Matthew 22 and verse 2 about the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding for his son. And people make excuses as to why they don't want to come. And so the king goes and he gets people from the outside to come. Nobody is going to be turned away from heaven who obeys God and who wants to be a part of that kingdom. You remember that story has that weird part about the guy that didn't have a wedding garment? And he was not allowed to come to the wedding because he didn't have a wedding garment. He says, well, how was I supposed to know that? And the point of that, of course, is that those who are prepared for heaven are the ones who will be able to be in heaven. We cannot just accept the idea that everybody will go to heaven when the judgment day comes. We need to be prepared. And that's one of the things we're about here. All of these things deal with us and how we live our lives. None of these things are physical. And so once again in Luke 17, beginning with verse 20, and listen to this carefully. Once having been asked, I'm reading the scripture now, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. See, Jesus reigns and will turn the kingdom of God over to God in the end. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 22, we have a description of that. The Bible says, but each is his own turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will become, and he will hand over the kingdom to God, the Father of it. He has destroyed all dominions, all authorities, and all powers. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. And now when it says everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that in God it may be all put in all. The kingdom will be turned over to God in the end. That's not the physical kingdom. We've already seen the physical kingdom is going to be dissolved. This is going to be gone. The spiritual kingdom is going to be turned over to God. And it is a spiritual kingdom that we are talking about when we talk about the kingdom of God. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have eternal redemption." Our lives are better because we are in his kingdom. But that kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. And you may think I'm beating this to death, but it is so much a part of our thinking and our culture to try and turn everything into the physical. And so we are not in this life going to be free of sickness. We're not in this life going to be free of pain. We're not going to be free of the struggles that everybody has. But in the spiritual kingdom, none of those things will exist. Things will get better. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18 says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." God will take care of us. We sing that song. And I think sometimes when we sing the song, "God will take care of me," we seem to somehow think that that means God's not going to ever let anything bad happen to us. And yet reality tells us that's not the case, right? Bad things do happen to us, but not spiritually. In 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 10, "You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's spiritual. So let me encourage you, don't be misled about what the kingdom is about. It is not the Jewish expectation that a new physical age will be inaugurated. In my studies with a Jewish rabbi that occupies the school right behind where we used to worship, he was always talking about the fact, well, we're going to have this new age. David's throne will be reestablished. Judaism will rule the world. God will make sure we have all the good things that life can offer. It will be 10 times better than Solomon. But see, that's not what it's talking about. Our prosperity gospel friends, our dispensationalist friends, our millennialist friends, the things you see on radio and television that tell you that Christians are going to be in a superior existence, we're going to have the best that life has to offer, that's not what the kingdom is about. Don't be misled about what the kingdom is about. God's kingdom is not a political kingdom. Jesus resisted force. Remember what happened in John 6 and verse 15? Remember what happened in John 18, verse 36? "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus says. "If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom has come from another place." See, Jesus isn't concerned about the physical world. "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God." The kingdom of Jesus comes from another place. So it's not political. It's not visible. We've seen two passages that said that. And the kingdom is entered spiritually. You know, one of the earliest stories in the Bible is the struggle that a man named Nicodemus had with this. In John 3, beginning with verse 3. Let me go back just one more verse to verse 2. "He came to Jesus at night." This is Nicodemus. "He said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Unless a man is born again. Of course, Nicodemus is a Jew. So he interprets the Jewish comment in terms of what I just read you about what the Jews hope for. And so Nicodemus says, "Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born." See, he's trying to establish that as a physical thing. And look what Jesus says to him. I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. See, that's physical. But Spirit gives birth to Spirit. That's what Jesus is about. That's what we are baptized into. You should not be surprised at this saying. You must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We are spiritually born into the kingdom of God. So when you hear these guys on radio and television talk about reestablishing David's throne, about reestablishing the kingship in Jerusalem, realize that they're still interpreting the kingdom as part of the physical world. But the Bible tells us over and over again, this is going to be destroyed. This is going to be gone. The elements will be dissolved. And so it is the spiritual kingdom that Jesus is dealing with, and it's the spiritual kingdom that we try to be a part of. When we are part of the church, we are part of the spiritual kingdom. And we have all those promises that God has given. The question for you this morning is, are you part of the kingdom of God? That's not difficult for you to do. As I hope you understood when I read all those statements that Jesus made about the kingdom, it's not based upon anything you have done, good or bad. It isn't based upon your money. It isn't based upon your age. It isn't based upon your education. It isn't based on any of that stuff. It's based upon whether you're born of the water and the Spirit. And so every Sunday we offer an invitation. The invitation is to be part of the kingdom. Sometimes we pray for each other as people who are sharing in the spiritual kingdom. We're still concerned about the physical. And so this week I'm going to pray about Larry and his prostate cancer. I'm going to pray about Kim and her kidney cancer. I'm going to pray about all those things that are present among us. Maylene, another example. It's kind of interesting. We had Audrey's birthday party on Friday. And Audrey is slipping. She's not doing well. But the one thing that was interesting to me, she didn't say much to me, but she did say, I'm ready to go. And I've heard that from her so many times. And I think it's important to understand that this is where we should be in our approach to this discussion. We need to be part of the spiritual kingdom. And if you're not part of the spiritual kingdom, that is within your power. Not because of anything you do, not of anything you are, but because you have the capacity to obey God. You can be born of the water and the Spirit. And so in Romans, the sixth chapter, when it talks about being baptized, one thing it says is that you can be baptized into a new walk of life, a new life. Why a new life? Because you become spiritual. That doesn't mean the physical things that you're stuck in right now will go away. They'll still be there. But you have the promise and the hope of eternal life. And if you're not part of the kingdom of God, I would pray this morning, I would beg you to make sure before you leave this building this morning that you are. And if in any way you're subject to that invitation, we encourage you to come. As together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?